Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're getting an update from Vizsla Silver, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol VZLA and on the NYSE under the symbol VZLA. We are chatting with the President and CEO, Mike Connert. We are focusing again on the Panuku project, as that is the flagship in Vizsla Silver, and the company did release news just last week, May 19th, a discovery of new vein at the northern end of the Tajitos area. The headline number here of little over 3,500 grams per ton silver equivalent over 2.65 meters. Mike, just remind everybody about this Tajitos area. It's kind of in between the Tajitos and Coppola resource area. What had you drilling here as part of this overall exploration program?
Yeah, well, thanks, Corey. And, you know, I'm actually here at the project right now in Mexico. And you know, everybody's very excited about this Coppola and Tajitos area. And so, you know, what got us to start drilling here originally was that Tajitos was, sampled, surface sampled. And, you know, we actually, Tajitos is actually a really funny story. I'm glad you asked this question because, you know, we drilled it kind of an unexpected drill hole as we were moving a rig to Napoleon, would have been about 20 plus months ago now. And, you know, we thought, let's just test Tajitos out. And we drilled and we actually hit old workings. And we're initially disappointed by that. And we said, whatever, we'll just move the rig back over to Napoleon and we'll wait for these assays to come back and we'll see what happened. And, these assays came back. And even with, the void zone, the zero value zone that we intersected with the old workings, the halo around that was extremely high grade, multi-kilos, great intercepts. And we thought, geez, this is something a little different than what we were expecting here after visually, hitting the void and then drilling into the rest of the material there. So when we stepped out from Napoleon, kind of north, east and south, west, I suppose, would be the orientation of Tajitos. We continued to make more high-grade discoveries there, and eventually we came across a fault. This fault, we thought, mixed things up here, and we weren't sure about the northern end of the fault. And of course, further drilling there discovered the Coppola vein, which is a flat-line structure about 200 meters, within 200 meters from surface, and that's just been an absolute boon for us. The Coppola structure is huge; it's added fair bit to the resource. I expected to continue to add meaningful ounces to the coming resource. But then further drilling here at Tajitos intersected this new splay vein that sits to the north of Coppola in between the Tajitos main vein and the flat-lying Coppola structure. And I think that'll add meaningful ounces here in Tajitos as well. And of course, we're drilling all of this towards a resource update towards the end of the year. So, it's pretty exciting, to go from being originally disappointed at Tajitos to that adding, probably, I believe it was over 35, maybe even over 50 million ounces in the resource. And now it's continuing to add meaningful ounces. I mean, this is a great example of why the Panuco exploration program and the Panuco project is really what exploration looks like when it's well executed in a highly prospective district.
Yeah, Mike, that really sums it up well, because you guys continue to hit in vein after vein and make discovery after discovery on this prolific property. And it's almost sometimes investors can feel desensitized to, oh, great, more multi-kilo hits over reasonable widths that are economic widths. And so I think sometimes people lose, after you see a series of great drill results, it loses the effect, but it should have an effect every time, Mike, because these are amazing grades that you're hitting. And it's exciting because Tajitos, you were initially not excited, then you were. Coppola, you got more and more enthused. And now this new area, maybe speak to it a little bit more. It's in between these two veins. So do you think this could keep expanding to the north?
I suspect that it's going to continue along strike, the orientation that it currently is long strike of Tajitos, the original vein. So I think that we're in for, more and more surprises when it comes to this area. And eventually when we do get underground, you know, we'll I bet you we'll be finding many of these types of little veins and veinlets that we didn't know about and won't really know till we're underground. It's just one of these very productive regions. And, you know, I think what's really interesting about Tijitos and Copala is that it's not just a vein, it's a system. And of course we see that with Napoleon as well. And so this district is really heavily mineralized and really quite exciting.
Mike, speak to some of these widths as well, because we're seeing at least a couple meters here. The headline number, a little over 3,500 grams per ton silver equivalent, over 2.65 meters. There's also a little over 1,000 grams per ton silver equivalent, over 4.2 meters. And then a couple other intersections of multi-kilo gram per ton silver equivalent, over almost 2 meters. What are the widths telling you about the potential of this area?
Well, those are excellent mining widths that can support underground dilution, which is, you know, so key for these types of you know, systems in Mexico, right? You know, the average vein and the average grade of a project in Mexico, I think, is like 1 meter and, you know, 150 grams silver equivalent. You know, 150 grams was our cutoff for the resource. So, you know, already we're looking at, you know, quite a robust, you know, mining width and something that I think can support multiple phases of extraction, which is really key to having what we all envision here, which is a large scale mining operation.
Well, Mike, as you work towards this resource upgrade, I know some of these new areas you're just finding weren't included in the resource upgrade you did last time, but they're also this Tijitos and Copala vein area is part of that Western block that Napoleon's also part of. But you have three big blocks, the Western, the Central, and the Eastern. So maybe just let people know from a big picture exploration strategy, you know, where else are the drills turning that will add significant ounces, do you think, to the resource upgrade?
Well, yeah, I mean, this truly is a large district here, and like I said, I'm in Mexico here. I'm just about to head up to the actual project, see the rigs in a couple of hours. But you know what's funny is that you fly in from Vancouver, you land in the airport, you take one of the two highways up to the property, and you know the property is kind of crisscrossed with these roads. And we're focused on the west with the majority of our drilling. You know, there's 10 rigs in the west. Most of them are focused on resource, and then the other amount are focused on exploration in and around the resources and down plunge and along strike at Napoleon. But then you go and you drive, you know, 20 minutes or so, and you get to the central area, and you know, there's exploration going on there at Animas and Cordon de Loro. And then, you know, if you were to drive, I believe, you know, it would take probably better part of 30 minutes plus, maybe more, to get to the eastern side of the district. And there's areas that I've never seen up there. There's areas that our geologists are finding and you know, mapping and sampling up there in the east. You know, this is really, really large scale. I mean, just Napoleon itself is 3 kilometers in strike from south to north. Tijitos is over 1 kilometer now. So, you know, what's really interesting is that western area, the resource area, Tijitos and Napoleon, they're only 5% of the overall vein extent of the district. So, you know, we've been here really exploring in earnest for about 2 years. You know, a lot of that has been ramping up from a couple of drill rigs to now 13, but I could see this, you know, this district will be a multi-hundred million ounce camp with, you know, large scale production, I think, in the near term. And it's very exciting.
Well, the company is already at a little over 106 million ounces of silver equivalent. Mike, I need to ask you, how much cash is in the bank to move forward with the drill program? And how much are you expecting to spend this year on the drilling?
So we have over $20 million in cash in the bank right now. We're in, you know, very strong position financially to execute the rest of the year's program here. We're actually getting a lot of economies of scale when it comes to drilling. So we have our directional rig at Napoleon now, which lowers our per meter cost. But we're well funded to finish the rest of the year off in terms of drilling and exploration here. We're very excited about that.
Well, Mike, just as people look forward, I know with 13 drill rigs, there's probably going to be a lot of different assays coming back. But what are the main catalysts and key news that you want investors focused in on, let's say, over the next few months or throughout the rest of the year?
I'm very excited about the work that's going on at Animus and Cordon de Loro. You know, I think the Far East needs a little bit more work, I think, in terms of drilling to find what we're looking for up there. But I'm excited about new discoveries in the East. But really what's putting a lot of meat on the bone and what's going to create value here in terms of a real mining plan that, you know, that we can put economics and planning around and move into production is that Napoleon and Tijitos area in the West. And, you know, I think there's going to be lots of great, you know, expansion at Copala, Tijitos, and certainly at Napoleon. So I'd keep an eye out for more news out at Napoleon. Drilling down dip and at depth has been rewarding from what we can see visually, but I think this is, you know, really setting up to be something very, very special here. And I think that the West, including Napoleon and Tijitos, really is that center of gravity that we want right now to kind of really start planning around mining.
All right, Mike, that wraps it up mostly for Vizsla Silver, but look, there is Vizsla Copper. It's a company that you guys spun out, I believe it was last year. We haven't had you on the show to discuss that story yet. We are going to have you on to provide a bit more of a comprehensive update, but can you give us a little teaser just in terms of the work that Vizsla Copper has underway right now?
Well, Vizsla Copper, you know, has a couple of assets. One of those is Blueberry, which was in Vizsla Silver for some time, and we were able to, you know, spin that out and create value for shareholders through that spin out by creating Vizsla Copper. We've also optioned the Carruthers Pass property from, you know, the best prospectors that I know in BC, Bill Morton and his team. And, we're actively looking at transformative acquisitions for the company. And, you know, the other asset that I should mention is the team, you know, Steve Blower and Keith Bodnarchuk, who are helping us out on the geology side, and Chris Leslie as well. We're all really kind of all-star geologists and really great at helping us kind of zero in on assets that are going to create a lot of value for us. So, I think by the end of the year, we should have a major, you know, transformative acquisition, and I'm very excited about Vizsla Copper.
All right, Mike, appreciate the update on Vizsla Silver and that little teaser on Vizsla Copper. As I mentioned, we'll be having you and a representative of the company on to provide a bit more of a comprehensive update in the next couple weeks. If anybody has any follow-up questions for Mike regarding any of the work going on at the Panuku project within Vizsla Silver, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. Full disclosure, Shad is a shareholder of Vizsla Silver. We'll be following up as more news hits the market. Mike, thanks again for your time. Have a great rest of your week.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.